Thank you. Hi, I'm Rachel. I'm a compulsive eater. I live in Covington, Louisiana. I'm 46 years old. This is my second time in the OA program. I have been, well, on Tuesday, God willing, I will have 2 years of back-to-back abstinence. And I've been back in OA since September of 2023, so not quite 3 years yet. The first time I came to OA was pretty disastrous. It really messed me up, which that's how it had to go. I don't blame OA for that. I blame myself for that. I wasn't ready, and I wasn't ready to let go of my own willpower. I still wanted to do things my way. But this time around, I could really see how much the eating was affecting my life. My life was unmanageable because of my eating. Just it was unmanageable financially. It was unmanageable in other ways. I just was in so much denial about having this illness that I couldn't see it. And I didn't think my eating was that big of a deal. I wasn't convinced food addiction was a thing because science doesn't say it is. Not yet, anyway. And I wasn't convinced I had it because when I came in the first time, I couldn't answer yes to a lot of the questions in the newcomer pamphlet. The questions that help you determine if you belong in OA. And I would hear stories, and I'm really good at picking out the differences between me and you. So I heard nothing that I could relate to. I was going to two meetings a week. I was going online. I think Footsteps was around already. This was like in 2019, and there were like chat meetings online, and I would go to those on a Thursday, and I was willing to work the steps except for step one. I thought. I realized I'm in another program, and through my step four in that program, I realized I have a lot of issues with food and trauma related to my childhood, and I thought OA could help me with that. And that's not what OA is for, but I went anyway. And I thought I could do the steps, get abstinent, and lose a bunch of weight, and that would be it. And that's I tried to force my recovery. I tried to control it, and it doesn't work that way. So I remembered all those lessons when I came back to OA. I remembered what the big book says in appendix number two near the end. It says there are three essentials other than a belief in a higher power. You need to be honest, open-minded, and willing. A lot of people misquote that and say open. But it's open-minded because open and open-minded are two different things. And I was pretty good at being honest. I mean, except for the whole denial thing, but being honest about where I was at, what I was willing to do, what I wasn't willing to do, I was pretty good with that. And it also says the word convinced a few times in the big book on pages 30 and 60. They use the words you have to be convinced of this and that. And I heard an AA speaker once talk about the word convinced and how important that was. And on page 60 it says you have to be convinced of the A, B, and C. Well, I wasn't convinced of those. So I figured in order to take my step one, I needed to be convinced of those. I wasn't willing yet to get a sponsor, so I didn't get one. I wasn't going to put somebody through me and my drama if I wasn't willing to have them as a sponsor. I wasn't going to do that to somebody else. So, I went about the only way I knew how to be convinced, that I had this, and I did some research. Not the kind that the big book talks about, but like scientific research, and there's just not much in the way of what science says about food addiction or binge eating. I don't qualify to have an eating disorder diagnosis. And for me, that was a problem because I put a lot of faith in science and medicine, and psychiatry doesn't say that compulsive overeating is a thing. And since I didn't qualify for an eating disorder diagnosis, in my head, that meant I didn't have a problem. I should be able to control this on my own. But of course, I couldn't. And when I could finally admit that, when I realized I needed help with this, that's when I became willing to come back to OA. I grew up in a pretty messed up family. Both of my parents are alcoholics. And I believe my mother was a compulsive overeater. At least she was obsessed with eating and losing weight. And that very much normalized that kind of thinking for me. I don't blame her for this. It's just, I never knew my thinking was distorted. I thought that was normal, the way she react. Like, I always thought it was just how women are. They grow up and they're always just trying to lose weight, and they'll never be able to lose it, but they keep trying. I thought every woman did that. I mean, that's what all the magazines said, you know, do this diet. And so it was very normalized for me. And it never occurred to me that normal eaters don't obsess about food or their weight or anything like that. So I didn't know there was anything wrong with my thinking. It took a long time for me to see that. I had to come back to OA after having left and admit that there's something wrong with my thinking. I already knew there were things wrong with my thinking, but I didn't know there was something wrong regarding how I thought about food. One of the things that was wrong with me, one of my old beliefs that I was convinced of, was that real freedom meant being able to eat whatever I wanted, whenever I wanted. And I believe that because I grew up being forced to eat vegetables, being punished, made to kneel on my knees or go to my room when I was older for not eating my vegetables. I never ate them. Like, maybe a handful of times I ate the vegetables, but I didn't understand why my father would torture me every time we had a vegetable I didn't like, which I didn't like most of them. And make me sit at the table and give me a time limit and then punish me. It's just like, why can't you just go ahead and punish me? You know I'm not going to eat them. But you don't talk back to my father, not like that. So once I left home for college, it was like, oh, I'm free. I actually started gaining weight my senior year in high school because I wasn't living at home so much. My sister and I were kind of living at my art teacher's house with her family. She just kind of unofficially adopted us for that year. And there was just more opportunity to be around food and eat. And I gained a little weight. And then sophomore year in college, I gained a lot of weight. And for my, I was a normal weight until then. I thought I was fat because my father would call me ham hock when I hit puberty. And it was very cruel and mean, but he thought it was funny, so he did it. And he made fun of my sister too. And that whole time in high school, I thought I was overweight and needed to lose weight. But looking back, I was a healthy weight for my height. And anytime I start to have that old belief that, well, if I just lose weight, everything will be fine, I have to go back to my high school days and like, you were a normal weight in high school, Rachel. You were miserable. You're the most miserable you ever been in your life was when you were in high school. Okay, so weight doesn't matter. It has no effect on weight doesn't determine how happy I am, I guess is how I'd like to say it. But like our founder Roseanne says in her story, the very first line, I think it's a quote from her mom, "Honey, if you have a 23-inch waist, everything else will be okay," something to that effect. And I kind of believe that as true myself, but that's just another lie my disease tells me. And going back to that one belief, thinking that eating whatever I wanted, whenever I wanted was true freedom. I have learned in OA by doing the work, by taking the suggestions y'all give in meetings and the steps, getting a sponsor, going to meetings, doing service, making phone calls, talking to people, opening up, being honest about how I feel and where I'm at. I have experienced that neutrality that's described in the 10th step promises on pages 84 and 85 of the big book. Of course, they're talking about liquor there, but I mean, I experienced it with food. And for me, that now is true freedom. When I can be around the foods I could not resist before and don't even want them and don't feel bitter because I can't have them anymore. And it's just something completely neutral to me. I've experienced that. And for me, that's true freedom. I don't experience that all the time, but I would say most days I do. Not always the whole day. Of course, I'm not around those foods a lot, but I don't even notice them when I go to the grocery store anymore. But that's not the only thing OA has done for me. That's what I wanted from OA was to get those 10 step promises. Another belief I had to let go of was not wanting to trust others, like other people weren't trustworthy and they'll hurt me. And it's just easier to do things on my own. Well, I can't do this program on my own. I can't do this alone. I still like to isolate. That's my favorite place to be is alone, but I can't recover in isolation. I need to be around people, even if it's people in a Zoom meeting or on the phone. That is helpful. And my sponsor lives in another state and it works, all of my sponsees live far away from me and they're getting recovery, So it doesn't all have to be in person, I think it might be good to have more meetings in person, but I only have one meeting in my town. So I need to go to meetings. I still go to meetings twice a day, every day. I don't know when I'll let up on that, but I wanted to get to the part that I wasn't expecting in OA. So I struggle with major depressive disorder, which is an outside issue, but it's relevant to this part of my recovery. I've been on disability since 2008. And I've come to accept that that may just be where I'm at for the rest of my life, living by myself with my cat and being on disability and doing my recovery and my programs. And I was okay with that. But I think my higher power has other plans for me. And I wasn't expecting that. And recently, just last month, I got this idea in my head that maybe I should go back to school. I had decided many times that I'm never going back to school because college was pretty miserable, just like high school. And it was pretty miserable because I was so sick. And I've changed a lot, and I wasn't expecting to have hopes and dreams again. But I have this hope and dream, and I think it's my higher power's will for me. At least to pursue this, to try to go back to school and do something specific. I won't mention it here, but and go back to school for that and be of use to my community and others, and it just came out of nowhere, out of the blue, like a lot of inspired thoughts pop into my head that I know are from my higher power. And I keep praying, asking, is this your will for me? And everything points to yes. And I'll continue to ask because it's still unbelievable that I would have these thoughts. Just the fact that I'm thinking these things is miraculous, which is what I wasn't expecting. So maybe this program will do for me what I never thought would happen in my life. That life beyond our wildest dreams, that phrase. I never expected that for myself. I didn't. I thought that was too high of an expectation. But it's just funny how OA is saving my life. I thought my other program had saved my life. It did, but OA is continuing to save my life and improve it. And I feel like I have, recovery these days. And, I'm doing all the work. I'm willing to do all this stuff every day. And it's not on my own power that I'm doing it. I'm on disability for a mental illness. I do not have the motivation to do all the things this program says I need to do, but I've been able to do those things without feeling overwhelmed because I believe it's my higher power's will for me to do those things. And like step 11 says, we ask for the power to carry out God's will. So, I believe that's what's happening. And I'm very grateful for that because doing life on my own wasn't so great. That's another lie my disease likes to tell me is that, it wasn't so bad before you came back to OA. And I'll believe that lie, but I have to remember, no, there was a reason you came back to OA, Rachel. Things weren't going so well. And one more thing I wanted to say before I close, OA's literally saved my life. I go to a nightly speaker meeting, and I heard a speaker at the end of July of last year who talked about how, because of his recovery, he was going to the doctor and taking care of himself, and they found some prostate cancer early, and they were able to take care of it. And I thought, my doctor's been ragging on me to get a mammogram for years. So before I even left that meeting, I went and made an appointment to get a mammogram, like, a few days, and my first mammogram ever, and they found cancer. And I blame OA for me following that nudge from my higher power to go get that mammogram. If I hadn't been in OA, I don't think I would have gotten that mammogram, or I would have gotten a nudge from my higher power, but I would have ignored it. And I'm not ignoring those nudges anymore that I get from my higher power. And they were able to catch it pretty early, and it's gone. And I received treatment for it in the fall, and I didn't slow down in OA. I didn't take on any new sponsees, but I kept my service commitments, and OA kept me going, and y'all were so supportive the whole time. And and I'm eating healthier than I've ever eaten before. I eat all my vegetables. I eat 5 servings of vegetables a day now. I never thought I'd want to overeat on vegetables, but there are times when I want to, and that's a miracle too. So I'm just taking care of myself
2 minutes
better.
left.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought that was 20. Okay, never mind.
No,
Well,
2 minutes. Yeah, 2 minutes
I have
left.
2 more minutes to ramble. Great. So I walk every day like my physical therapist has told me to do. I do these exercises to help with the consequences of the cancer treatment. And not just those physical things, but I do the spiritual practices every day. I practice step 11 every day. I do my prayers and meditation. I do readings every day in the morning and at night. I read out of 5 different OA books every day and the big book. And I also, like I said, I go to meetings, I do a lot of service. I've been having to cut back and have boundaries for myself with my service because I'm a service junkie. I can overdo it and get resentful and overwhelmed. And I need to, I'm trying to manage that better with the help of my higher power. So, and I've been doing a lot more with my local group, with the intergroup, my local intergroup as well. This is my home group. I try to come every day, but I've gotten nudges from my higher power to do more with my local group. And And I've been doing that, even though it seems scary, and it's just like, why would you help that group? It hasn't helped you. It's like, well, it's not about me and what I get out of service. It's, ooh, dare I say it, it's about thinking about other people. Can I, that doesn't sound like me. No, I'm not going to admit that. All right, that's all I have. Thank you for listening. Thank you for letting me share today. Thank you.